Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. So today I have the pleasure of sitting down with Mr. Thomas Barron. And let me tell you, I am super excited because Thomas is one of my best friends and this is not his realm of comfort. So because he loves me so much, he allowed me the honor of bringing him to the stage and having a conversation, and I'm super excited about it. I have watched Thomas grow and mature into this awesome man of God, a husband, a father, and it was only right for him to join me about this episode concerning emotional honesty. And June is all about Men's Health Month. So after the interlude, without further ado, I will bring Mr. Thomas Barron to the stage. Hey, bro.
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm straight. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to be cheesing the whole time because you already know that I'm excited. You are my best friend forever, and I'm just super excited to have you here.
A lot of years behind us. A lot of years behind us.
Yes. If we did a podcast episode about that, baby, we would go viral.
All day. All day.
So I start off asking my guests who they are. So tell the people, who is Thomas Barron?
Thomas Barron is a 38-year-old father who has a complicated past and probably an even more complicated future. Just trying to make day by day. I am married with two babies. All I do is I live a very, very boring life of going to work, coming home, and going to church. That's pretty much my entire life for the most part.
So what are some misconceptions women make about men as we go through Men's Health Month? What are some misconceptions that we have about you guys?
That we don't feel. That we're always supposed to be these tough characters who just protect and provide all the time, and as if we don't have those same vulnerable moments that women have. The only difference is women can tend to have these periods out in the open.
Right.
And we kind of just, do it by ourselves, or we kind of pack it down and we just move on. Mm. And, we think about a lot of things that women think about. We just don't always voice those things. We tend to take our stress and put it into other things as opposed to vocalizing that stress and getting that stress out.
Right. Like, for example, you used to play pool. That would be one of your things.
Yeah.
And going to the gym. Right.
Okay. Which I'm still doing. And every once in a while, I'll take my old bones and get them on the basketball court and try to hang with the young dudes and then, pay for it for the next 2-3 days of soreness. But pool is still my thing. I'm just waiting to get myself a pool table because when I do, people may never see me ever again.
So how can we as women create safe spaces for you guys in order for you to feel safe enough to feel vulnerable, like around us? Because I know sometimes we always say, he don't talk, or men don't talk, but that's because we don't really create those safe spaces sometimes. So what is some advice that you can give the ladies to tell us how we can do that for you?
It really depends on the dynamic of your relationship with that husband or boyfriend or fiance, whatever you may call that man in that moment. Because I know a lot of men who don't talk tend to not talk because it's then held over their head. I can't count how many times we've had these conversations online, and I'm looking at these threads, and you know, I have these women that say, you know, oh, he cried, and what is he doing, and he can't be, and I'm like, that's the reason your man will never talk to you. In order to make a safe space, we need the same things that you guys need. We need somebody sometimes to just sit there and listen. 9 out of 10 times, a man doesn't want that woman to give him solutions. We don't want you to fix the problem. We want you to listen to the problem. And that's what my wife has created for me. She has created a space where I can literally just sit and vent for however long I vent for. And afterwards, I get comfort. We don't want you to say, well, maybe you should, or maybe, unless we ask you to do that.
Okay.
We don't want that. At least I know I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to give me a solution to my problem all the time, unless I ask, well, what do you think I should do? Because sometimes we just need to get it out. It's been so many years and years and years of men just holding everything in, trying to be masculine, because mm-hmm. we see these periods of time where we also want to cry sometimes. We also want to break things sometimes. I have many of moments where I want to just hit something and break it. And that comes from all the years of holding things in, thinking I was weak if I vocalized what I was going through. Right. And I had to marry a woman that vocalizes what she's going through. Uh-huh. And I had to learn how to deal with that. And I also had to learn how to deal with my own emotions, because I would always hold them in. And that's why I was so angry as a kid. I was always mad. I was always angry. And because I grew up with the manly man who didn't cry, who didn't vocalize, they just kept going forward. Mm-hmm. And then you see these toxic traits start to come out where you're like, I don't want to talk about this. I don't need to talk about this. I'm a man. I'm just going to move forward. Well, I'm glad that we're finally to a point where we realize that men need to talk too.
Absolutely.
We don't need to just stop, internalize it, move forward. And I'm glad that men are starting to realize, especially Black men, that we need therapists.
Absolutely.
I don't have one personally, but I have several, if I'm going to be honest. One lives right in my house and sleeps next to me every night. I hate to use this term. We are each other's punching bags for the most part, for lack of a better term, because we lay it out on each other all the time. And it's not about each other. It's just, hey, I need to get this out. I need you to listen to me. And I'm more than happy to listen to her, and she's more than happy to listen to me. And then we can move forward from there. But I'm glad that men's health has become recognized. Finally, mm-hmm. It's like, hey, these men need from us. And it's like, thank you. Thank you. And thank you, because we do need it. We definitely do.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to really hone in on men's health this month for June, because you guys are important, you know, and you are the leaders of the home. So if y'all not right, then the whole thing is thrown off. You know what I'm saying? So I really wanted to make this season about health and dealing with traumas and different things. So even with the month of July, I'm doing all of these life coaches, because I want people to understand the value in therapy. Jesus and therapy go hand in hand. You know, God gives us things. Warning comes before destruction. But he gives us those tools, like therapists, like life coaches, before we destroy ourselves by holding these things in. So I'm really, really excited about, you know, like you said, the men just starting to come into an understanding, like, yeah, I got to really go to therapy. I got to really get this together, you know, because even in the single space, we just go from relationship to relationship to relationship, and we don't really take the time to work on ourselves and deal with childhood traumas and all that stuff. So it's exciting to see you guys now coming to a point of, okay, yeah, I'm about to take this into consideration and really do it. So do you believe that emotional honesty plays a major role in leadership or, you know, success in life?
Absolutely. I love my pastor dearly. And he has, we pick on him for saying it all the time, but he always has these moments where he says, I'm going to be transparent, or I'm going to have a transparent moment, or in the spirit of transparency.
Yeah.
And we mess with him because he says it all the time, but it's necessary, especially in our men's groups, because in our men's groups, we are, well, we have what we have our group called the MVP men, men of vision and purpose. Mm-hmm. And when we get together, just us, because we even bring the teenagers in, we bring the young men in, because mm-hmm. they need to see grown men being vulnerable with one another. Absolutely. It's not just a fact of being vulnerable with your woman or with your wife or fiance, but being vulnerable with one another in a safe space where this is not going to be hung over your head, or they're not going to make fun of you about it. Mm-hmm. And he has created a space where we can literally let everything go. Can talk about anything. This is not a churchy kind of right. deal for us. This is a, hey, we need to talk. And I have let things out in those groups that I have told almost nobody. The only other person that knows what they know is my wife. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that I let out in those things that my siblings don't know, my cousins don't know, my mother don't know, my father didn't know. And I'm glad he created that space, because we can be 100% honest. We may need to watch our language, but we can be 100% honest about anything that we're going through. Not just that, they are willing to listen to you, and they are willing to be there for you. And if you need it, they are willing to help you. We have created a community of men where we are all together, and only we can separate us. And I believe every man needs a man group like that.
Absolutely.
Where they can be 100% themselves and 100% vulnerable around other men and know that you're not alone, because 9 out of 10 times, what you went through as a man, somebody else has already gone through or is going mm-hmm. through with.
Right.
And if you can sit there and you can be honest with those men about what you're going through, it helps so much more. Because there are some things that men go through that women will never understand. And it's things that women go through that we will never understand.
Right.
But if you can create that group with your people, and when I say your people, I don't mean race, ethnicity. I mean men and women. When you mm-hmm. can create those spaces with you and your people, you can learn to move mountains, because now you have a people that will sit there and they'll just listen to you and they'll comfort you. And it's not always feeling like somebody has some sort of motive behind it.
Right.
They're not going to go talk about you behind your back. They're not going to go gossip about what you just told them. Nobody else knows except you and that group.
Right. And I love that you guys include the boys, because that is so vital. They need that. And, you know, especially with, you know, Christian, my oldest, for those who doesn't know, his father is not here anymore. So a group like that would really be something that he can benefit on, for to have that community of men love on him, because there's things that he can't talk to me about, or his grandmother or his aunt. So having you guys there would really be a benefit for him. And I love that you guys include the young men. So that's dope. So what advice would you give men who struggle with expressing their emotions?
First, you have to learn to accept them. So many times we act as if we don't go through anything. And if you feel that you don't go through anything, you'll never get through anything. You will stay stagnant in the space that you are in. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be extremely difficult for you to move forward in any space. Because if you're stuck in your emotions, you'll be stuck in here too. And mm-hmm. if you're stuck in here too, you can't move forward.
Right.
Because you're going to keep looking at that space behind you, like, I'm going through this and I'm going through this. Instead of saying, I went through this and leaving it behind you, you're going to be stuck in that same spot. So acceptance is number one. It's just like anybody, anything else. It's like an addiction. Accept that you have an addiction so you can try to get rid of it or try to work through it in order to be sober. Mm-hmm. Well, emotions are the same thing. You have to accept that those emotions are there. And then once you accept that those emotions are there, find a healthy outlet. So many times we as men create these unhealthy outlets for ourselves just to say, I let it go. Whether it be drugs, whether it be smoking, whether it be drinking, whether it be sex, whether mm-hmm. it be porn, whether it be something you did outside. You got to find some sort of a safe space, something to do that is healthy. Even if it's just something like, hey, I'm going to go to the gym for an hour. Because I know there's plenty of times where me and the wife may be going at it that day, not necessarily arguing or whatever, but we may just be irritated with each other. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to the gym. And I'm sorry, going through the gym angry to me is the best workout. Because you get everything out, especially mm-hmm. when it's those times where the gym is half empty and you ain't got to wait on a machine.
Yeah.
Those are the best because you get everything out. Then you can come and you talk about it.
Yeah.
This is where so many men miss the mark of not talking about it because they'll get over it and they'll be like, well, it's over. It's over.
Yeah.
No, it's not over because you haven't let it out yet.
Mm-hmm.
What people fail to realize, and this is men and women alike, when you talk about something, then you can truly let it go.
Yeah.
If you haven't released from your mouth,
mm-hmm.
then you haven't truly let it go. It's just like saying you forgive somebody of something. You can think you forgive them, but until you verbalize it, it don't feel real all the time. Because you may still walk into a room with that person and that person's energy, being just being their presence in the room, it can completely shift the way yeah. you feel about being in that room. Yeah. But then when you really be like, okay, I forgive you. If you still feel a shift when you walk around them, then you didn't truly forgive
yeah.
them. But I'm going on a tangent. Men have to learn how to verbalize things. And we're not taught that. See, girls are taught, women are taught to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
Men are taught to internalize things. And we also have to learn how to talk.
Yeah.
How to express ourselves calmly, not without anger and without cussing and without vitriol. We have to learn how to verbalize ourselves. Say, hey, listen, I'm feeling like this. Even if you're irritated with somebody, hey, listen, you made me feel this way. I don't know if that was your intent. The problem is we don't know how to talk to each other. When we learn how to talk to each other and start talking at each other, then you can create a space of communication where you can talk about something and feel okay afterward. But yeah. talking is the start. Acceptance and talking. And find yourself a group of men that will be there with you and for you and are not afraid to walk with you. It doesn't matter who that men group is. It doesn't matter where that men group come from. It don't always have to be from your church. It could just be your group of friends. But you have to create a space where men can be vulnerable with men and talk to men and sometimes get pointers and tips and life experience from other men. And once you get those three things, I promise you it'll get better.
Right. So my last question for you is a two-party question. What advice would you give the men who are looking to get married? And what tools do they need to help balance maintaining their mental health while taking on caring for a family?
Number one, pray about what you want. Too many times we see things on social media and we think it's all peaches. Social media are human highlights.
Yes.
They are not the dark spaces. If we start to present our dark spaces, we will see people for who they really are. The light spaces are what we want you to see. The dark spaces are stuff we can't allow you to see. And I am one that's not afraid to share my dark spaces. Because I'm not a highlight reel. I'm a whole film. I'm a feature film. And if a man is looking to get married, one, pray about the wife you want, not the woman you want.
That's good.
The woman you want can come and go. Because there are going to be women who have certain aspects of what you want, and then there are going to be certain aspects of what you need. And what you need and what you want, if they can coincide with one each other, with one another, then you have your wife. But number one is pray about the wife that you need. Because sometimes our wants don't matter. Let's be honest. Sometimes our wants, they don't matter at all. I tell this story when people say, well, how did you know? I said, listen, I prayed for her. I didn't pray about what I wanted. I prayed because I wanted her. So I prayed for her, and I have her now. But sit down. And this is going to sound really elementary, but it works. Sit down and write down what you want. And then write down the things you don't want. Compare that list to one another and pray about that list, about what you want. And sorry, ring doorbell. Pray about those things. And when you finish praying about those things, really sit and meditate about, is that something, are those things that I really want? Number two, don't go chasing every woman. Because once you've prayed about it, it may take some time. But we as men, we are hunters, and we tend to try to force the situation.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to force the situation, you're going to end up with the woman you don't need. I ended up with plenty of women I didn't need. And it never, although you learn from those experiences, in the end, it's not going to help you in your marriage.
That's true.
That's just me being a man that's been married since 2010.
Yeah.
And those things that you tend to want to look at in social media and things, 9 out of 10 times, that's not what you want. Mm-hmm. It's just a waste of time. Two is, you know, don't force the situation. Three, get counseling beforehand. I'm talking marriage counseling. Put everything out on the table. Because sometimes you'll go and get married, and then 5 years down the line, you figure out, well, I didn't know this.
Right.
You might have a deal breaker show up 5 years down the line. And at that point, it's like, I'm already in this now.
Right.
It's like, what do I do? Do I make the decision to leave, or do I try to work through that and stay? Do I try to work through that deal breaker? And I'm sorry, it ain't no working through deal breakers. A deal breaker is something you hate. And I don't use that word loosely. It's something you absolutely hate and you cannot deal with. So get good counseling. A good counselor, whether it be a pastor or not, get good counseling and put everything on the table. Yeah. Everything has to be put on the table, because once you're married, you're married. And I hate that D word. It's not an option. At least not for me, unless certain things happen that causes, you know, infidelity, things of that nature. But don't go into a marriage thinking it's going to be like your relationship.
Right.
It is a different ball game. This is somebody that you are willing to spend every moment with for the rest of your life. Whether you're physically there or not, you are spending moments with them. Because at the end of the day, y'all got to hop in that bed together and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to wake up and look at that person in the face when the sun come up.
Right.
Or if you work overnights, before the sun go down. So get good counseling beforehand. Sometimes maybe even before you get engaged. Because a lot of people will put their representative out there for a long time.
That's true.
Sometimes you'll be with a person 2-3 years and then you get married and then that real person pop up and you're like, hold up.
Right.
That wasn't what that was 3 months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So good counseling is, to me, is essential. Number four, go into that marriage knowing things are going to change.
Yeah. Immediately.
And I don't just mean, you know, I put a ring on this and we're sleeping together and we're all together all the time. I mean, the person that you met is not going to be the person that is that same person 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are going to change because people are built to evolve and change and grow. And when that person grows, you got to grow with them, because if you don't grow with them, y'all are going to be what is called unequally yoked. And once you become unequally yoked, things start to get difficult.
Yeah.
And go into your marriage knowing that you are going to have difficulties.
Right.
If you go into your marriage thinking it's going to be peachy and it's always going to be flowers and unicorns, you're in for a real awakening once that first real problem comes up.
Yeah.
People tend to say, you know, the first year of marriage is the hardest. No, it's not. The second year is. That first year of marriage, 90% of the time, is your honeymoon phase. You're going to be in that honeymoon phase for about a year. But then once that honeymoon phase wears off, you're going to start to experience some of those difficulties.
Yes.
Whether it be money, whether you guys be, you know, whether your sex drives are different at different times of the day, whether, you know, you want to raise your kids this way and she wants to raise them another way.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that should have been talked about beforehand, which is why I say get good counseling. But know that the person you married that day is not going to be that same person a few years down the line. If they are, you might want to start asking some questions. I'm just being real. Because if that means that person's not growing. And I always have a saying, once you stop growing, you start dying. So number one, what did I say number one was? Pray. Number one, pray. Number two, you know, figure out what you really want. Number three is good counsel. Number four, knowing it's going to change. Number five, stick through it. Those difficult moments, sometimes you may want to leave. I haven't experienced that. It's just me personally talking about me. I haven't experienced wanting to leave, but plenty of people do. And you have to figure out, hey, is it really worth leaving? Am I really willing to break up my family? Now, God forbid you already have kids with this person. Am I really willing to break up this family over what's going on? Sometimes it is worth it. Sometimes it is very worth leaving. But you have to figure out, am I going to be mad about this a year down the road?
Right.
Or is just a moment?
Right.
Because your moments aren't always seconds and minutes. Sometimes your moments can be a month.
Right.
Sometimes a moment can be 2 months. Is it really worth never seeing or being with this person again over what I'm mad about right now? Go in knowing you can't change him or her. You cannot change that person. You can help them grow to the person that they want to be, but know that they are their own person.
Right.
See, I came in thinking I was going to change my wife in a way that fitted me. And she came in, thought she was going to change a way that fit her. And what we had to figure out is we can't do that. But we can help each other grow into the point where we fit each other.
Right.
Because no person is perfect for another person. I don't care what anybody says. You can be great for that person. You ain't perfect for that person. Because if you were, you would never have an argument. You would never have a disagreement. And I'm sorry, that kind of marriage is whack. I am, my brother-in-law said I'm a difficult person, and he knows why I chose my wife, because she was going to challenge me. And he's right. Because if I can't be challenged, if I can't be challenged, then I'm wasting my time. If I can do whatever I want in my relationship, it was a waste of time. So it wasn't, it was exactly, I would get bored very, very, very quickly in those relationships. My wife challenges me and I appreciate her for doing it.
And I love her.
I appreciate her for doing it because she has taught me how to verbalize what I feel instead of just being mad for hours and hours and hours. Even though I still have my moments where I'm mad and it's like, leave me alone, just let me be mad. I had to learn how to verbalize, because how can you work through anything with another person if they don't know what's happening? Yeah, you can see her in the back over here.
Hey, Sissy. Love her.
She challenged me in the way that made me better. She's challenging me right now while I'm trying to do this show.
I love it.
But she literally challenged me in a way that made me better, because I was the person that would just be mad and never talk about anything. I didn't want to talk. Just wanted to get over it and move on, like most men do, because that's the way I was taught. You know, you move on, you keep going, even though you're supposed to keep going regardless, but talk about it in the end. A man that's looking to be married, don't be afraid to talk to your wife. But talk to her before you get married.
Yeah.
Figure out if she is going to be your safe space. Because if you tell her your deepest vulnerability and she uses it against you later, she's not your wife.
Right.
She's just a bump in the road to teach you, hey, she wasn't the one.
Right.
Because I have heard horror story after horror story of men having deep, vulnerable conversations with a woman, and then they get into an argument later and she uses it against him. And that will make that man never want to talk to another woman ever again.
Yeah.
If your fiance, if your girlfriend can create that safe space, she will always be your safe space. She will never call you a weak man. She will never belittle you. If she's your safe space, she will respect you for telling her what you're going through. So if you can figure out if that woman is a safe space, go ahead and marry that woman. If she's your safe space and she has your qualities that you want, and she's also giving you some of the stuff that you need, go ahead and marry that woman, because she will be that way forever. A safe space will always be a safe space.
I love it. Well, bro, I thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me and talking to me and just basically putting our conversations in live form, because this is what we talk about all the time.
these are regular conversations had in Facebook Messenger and text messages.
Yes, it is. But I appreciate you. I want to give you a moment to let people know if you want them to follow you, where they can follow you for more sage advice, because I'm pretty sure they're going to want to hit you up. And then men too, they might have questions, you know, they might want to talk to you about certain things. So I'll give you your moment so you can tell them where to find you.
Okay. So don't look for me on Facebook. It's going to be a hard find. There's 100 Thomas Barons in the Facebook atmosphere. But if you want to follow me on Instagram, it is Tommy Guns, TommyGunz 920. That is the Instagram that I'm on all the time. You may see me post from my second Instagram, which is Tsunami Tommy, but that is more so for my wave journey. So if you want to follow me on IG, it's TommyGunz 920. Again, TommyGunz 920. And that's pretty much the only place to find me.
All right, bro. Thank you so much. All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, I want you to remember, you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world and you have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next time, bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at Shira Renee 510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.